Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Tom. The subject is April LSAT conspiracy theories and audits.
Audits. Wow, okay. Hey guys, the R LSAT page has been exploding with conspiracies since the April score release. I will link to the thread below, but people are gifting LSAC $150 thinking that there was a giant mishap with the test scoring. I've seen other online LSAT figures claim that LSAC is making the test harder and scale steeper. I know there's usually people after every administration claiming that the test was harder than any practice test, but the fervor for audits on this one seems to stand out. Any thoughts on audits, and have you seen any of your students actually achieve anything with one? Best, Tom. So I gather from this that an audit costs $150. I've never had that price in my head before. And it's like a physical examination. They can't even do a physical examination anymore. So I wonder what an audit is these days.
I'm going to have to click on this thread. Of course, I won't be able to make any comments on r/LSAT because we're all banned on r/LSAT. For those of you who haven't heard the story, there's a biased moderator over there who owns his own LSAT prep company, and he has banned us and any mention of LSAT Demon, actually, on the entire thread. So that tells you what the sub is worth, really. What is this? You can buy an audit and it might change your score?
Yeah. So when I think of audits, I think of long, long time ago, right? When the test was paper-based and you were penciling in your bubbles. And if you didn't like your score, you could pay someone to physically find your paper test and hand grade it.
Right.
So now that that's all gone, I am not sure what an audit actually gets you other than someone pulling up your electronically submitted answers and visually checking to see that it was graded properly. I mean, that actually seems more likely to result in errors than a electronic review. But hey, if people are really not confident in their score, I guess this is a thing.
I can't imagine a single person's score changing as a result of this. If it does, then
what does that mean about all other scores,
what?
Right?
Yeah. If it does, if anybody's score changes, then it throws every single score into doubt. I can't imagine that this is going to do anything at all. This does seem like a way to throw money at LSAC. And I'm sure they'll do something. They'll go check. So however they can check, like match up the electronic record physically to the answer key and go, yeah, no, you got 62 questions correct and that's a 158 or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I just can't imagine that anybody, I'll tell you one thing that is constant. Every single score release, there are people saying, no, you don't understand. This time it's different. That's every time, every single test administration. There are some people who think, oh, it was unusually hard. Oh, the scoring scale on this one was unusually difficult. Oh, there were more, you know, no. Those games, this time, that one game, I mean, it was impossible. It was a whole new type of that. People say that every time.
They do.
I mean, it's like the law of large numbers or something. You know, when you have 10,000 people or 50,000 people or whatever it is that are all taking the test, some of y'all are going to have a bad day. And the people who have a bad day love to go on Reddit and talk about it. So it's just not surprising that there are vocal people saying, oh my God, I can't believe how hard this was. Oh my, I scored way lower than my norm. But that's just, it just happens on every test. I don't know.
Yeah. So most likely this is nothing, right? But if we entertain the conspiracy theories for a half a second, could this be LSAC's attempt to push back at the score inflation, which is a definite thing?
Well, I think they have to make the scoring scale tougher. I mean, they can't they can't be happy with a doubling in the number of 175 pluses.
Yeah, that cannot be good for their most important clients.
No, Harvard, Yale and Harvard, Columbia, and Stanford and Columbia, yeah, and all these other schools like Chicago, they're all looking at that going, no. This now devalues a 175 plus. We can't be happy with that. And they can't either. They know that the diagnostic or the
the validity or the
promise assessment, like the usefulness of the test. Yeah. If all of a sudden everybody starts bunching, not everybody, because there's still people who are struggling, it's not like everybody scoring 175 or higher. But yeah, when twice as many people are now scoring 175 and higher, then, the truly elite schools, it's not as useful for them to differentiate between those elite candidates. If everybody's elite, then nobody's elite. So I do think that with scores exploding, and we suspect that accommodations is a huge part of that, we suspect that with scores exploding, they're going to have to make the test harder.
Do they report the curve? In other words, the bell curve or the distribution of scores by test?
I think they do. I think every test. I'm not sure about that, though.
Somehow we figured out that there's twice as many 175 pluses, right? Somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was...
they reported like in aggregate. But we'll have to dig into that more. Stay tuned to future episodes of the LSAT Demon Daily podcast, and we'll dig into this a little bit more to see what's actually going on with the percentiles and 175 pluses and 170 pluses. We'll keep you apprised as we learn more.
Cool.
Ready to wrap it up?
Yeah. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.